Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:14 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is August 24th, and it was a pretty quiet day on stock markets today. You can see that the S&P is trading at around just down 1 point on the day, the Nasdaq down 4, the Dow Jones down 16. It's finished out the day with pretty minuscule moves, and that is certainly going to represent a comfort to investors who were treated to an uptick in volatility last week. But when we look at what's been happening in terms of stock markets, then what we can really conclude is that this has entire 6 week range has been characterized by just a reversion to the mean in what has been really a very steady environment. Certainly, when we look at the absolute consistency of the market, that this range has pulled back into the underlying range. So that represents an inconsistency relative to what had been a very consistent advance from the advance since early November. But it is occurring in the region of that psychological 2500 point level, and a somewhat larger overextension relative to the trend mean had developed for the S&P 500. And it has unwound part of that. The very fact that it has been so slow in coming down has also allowed the moving average to move up towards where prices are. But what it does suggest is that the chances are we're going to be ranging for a little while longer. And that's particularly relevant for the European markets. And this is the Euro Stoxx Index, which is about 300 of the, it's more than 300, less than 400 of Europe's Eurozone's largest shares, but it has pulled back in a very orderly manner towards the region of the trend mean, and there is some evidence of short-term steadying in this area. Considering that it had raced to get up to 400, which represented the peak in 2015, then it was natural that we get some consolidation, and that looks like what we are getting. And that is, of course, against a background where the euro has been really quite firm. If we put this in on just a different type of chart, we can change the currency. And, for example, if we look at it from the perspective of a US investor, then you can see that, for example, because the euro was so weak at the peak in 2015 that, and so strong now, that it's quite different. That, in fact, from a foreign investor's perspective, the European markets are actually firmer now than they were in 2015 and are actually approaching their peak from 2014. But nonetheless, this is a previous area of resistance, and it is natural that we get some consolidation. So from either the perspective of a foreign investor or a domestic investor, this is a natural area where one might anticipate that there could be some resistance, and that is what we're getting. But it also helps to highlight the fact that in nominal terms, the Eurozone has been going down, but in real terms, the stock market has actually been quite firm, because it is reflecting that strength in the euro. And the euro has paused in the region of this 120 area. I think that despite the fact that the dollar index is not nearly as traded as a currency pair, a lot of people will be looking at the fact that the dollar is oversold. It is right in the region of the lower side of a more than 2 year range, that it had this failed upside break. It has come right back down and tested the lower side of that range, and that this is a natural area where one would anticipate at least a pause. And what happens here is probably going to have a knock-on effect for how people view not only Europe, but also Wall Street. And considering that I've seen a number of prognostications that the dollar was going to fall considerably further, that's generally an indication of what people have already done with their money rather than what we can anticipate from the market. And I think where the real big news was today was in the commodities sector. There were a number of rather important moves. So I posted the charts for copper yesterday, but copper prices pushed through the $3 area in here today, and we're up in a robust manner. When we look at this on a weekly basis, then we're treated to a very clear break in a more than 5 year downtrend, a first step above the type 2 bottom, and now a reassertion of the medium term uptrend. When we look at the LME Metals Index, then we're presented with a very similar pattern. and an equally clear break up higher over the last 3 or 4 weeks. What is interesting is that if, for example, we look at the FTSE 350 mining index, and then we're presented with a pretty similar pattern. It hasn't quite broken out yet, but the very fact that these international mining companies consolidate their earnings in dollars ensures that the ASX 300 Resources Index has got a generally similar pattern. And if, for example, we look at a UK listed ETF for Brazil, so you strip out the currency from the Brazilian index, then again we're presented with a very similar pattern. That's obviously quite different from what we're seeing on the Bovespa index, but of course the Bovespa has got the that it, this is the nominal price, because obviously the real has been one of the more volatile currencies. But what obviously is happening here in Brazil is that the Brazilian index is breaking through this 70,000 level in nominal terms, and that did offer a significant area of resistance back in 2008. Again in 2010, it has been consolidating rather firmly in the region of this 70,000 area for much of the year so far, but now we're seeing it breaking higher. And it is probably worth also then looking at what is happening with the real, because the real has strengthened up considerably since that low in 2015, and it has been quite steady. So what this also suggests is that this relative strength in Brazil, despite the fact that you have a very uncertain environment in terms of the political environment, this car wash investigation continues to rattle along and has embroiled just about every elected official in the country, and investors appear willing to look past that as long as the currency is relatively stable and commodity prices are appreciating. And the fact that Brazil is close to breaking out to new all-time highs will certainly be making headlines if that does in fact occur. And of course, it's also worth highlighting the South African market when we round out some of those major commodity producers. And it is firming from this 55,000 level. Of course, this is in nominal terms, and obviously here there are also questions about governance, but it is also worth highlighting that the Johannesburg All-Share Index is comprised primarily of internationally oriented companies, and certainly BHP is in there, but it is also it's got Kimberly-Clark. Excuse me, that's Mexico. It's got Kimberly-Clark. It's got Richemont in here as well. It's got Glencore. So what it is also reflecting is the return to performance of the mining sector. Then, when I was doing the click through yesterday, then the Peruvian market popped up, and that is also obviously heavily weighted by copper producers. I think Southern Copper is one of the major constituents in this index, and it is breaking up out of what is an almost year-long range, despite the fact that the Latin American region has been really out in the cold in terms of investor interest for much of the last few years. The Colombian market is now also firming above that range, and that looks like a completing first step here. So what we are certainly seeing is a return to performance of the mining sector, not just on a regional basis but on a global basis. And of course we are now back in a period of synchronized global economic expansion. For the first time in almost a decade, all of the OECD countries are in an economic expansion. Of course, this is also a week in which the major central bankers are talking between bouts of going out for some fishing in Wyoming, and they're going to be talking about what to do about interest rates and the size of their respective balance sheets. Considering that we are in a period of synchronized global economic expansion, then that has to ask the big question that they introduced to this extraordinary monetary accommodation because their economies were contracting violently and that needed to be arrested. So now that we're in a period of economic expansion, it is natural to begin to ask the question about what do we do with all of this additional money that's been printed. And that would suggest that the Fed is going to move towards reducing the size of its balance sheet, and that we could have tapering by the ECB. And that is a representative of their belief that we do have this benign environment. We are still only at the very beginning of a tightening cycle. And when you think about the kind of signal that the commodity sector is giving us, what it suggests is that these are shares that are leveraged to global growth, and they're pricing in a return to global growth. We're only at the beginning of a tightening cycle. Generally, you would anticipate that when we're towards the end of a tightening cycle, that is when that would represent a headwind for global growth and therefore the commodity complex and indeed other cyclical sectors. So that would suggest that these cyclical sectors have got plenty of room for additional upside. And it is also worth just keeping an eye on the banking sectors. They're equally cyclical, they're equally leveraged to economic growth, not just on a domestic basis, but a number of banks also on a global basis. And the S&P 500 banks have been ranging here above the trend mean for most of the year, but there is an upward bias evident. And when we look at the FTSE 350 banks index, it's not as international as it used to be, but there is an upward bias evident within what is still a developing base formation from that low all the way back in 2009. And we should also look at the Eurozone's banking index. Of course, it is not nearly as replete with banks as it used to be, considering the number of nationalizations that have occurred. But there is an upward bias evident since the middle of 2016. And of course, banks are would benefit both from economic growth but also from higher interest rates, and that is, I think, beginning to be reflected in their prices. But a generally quiet day, and I think with that I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.